Let's pray. Lord, as we've just sung about your cross, and now we get to spend time considering that and what you accomplished there, I pray you would bless this time that we spend in communion, that it would just make much of you, Jesus. And it's always in your great name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Please be seated. As we spend time in God's Word here during this time of communion, we want to make sure that everybody has a copy of God's Word in their hands. So if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand and the men will come by and they will distribute those. And as you're opening your Bibles, as you're swiping to your Bibles, please open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 through 25. Ezekiel 18, verses 21 through 25. Recently, I was in Italy and went to the Vatican where I witnessed a Catholic Mass at St. Peter's Basilica. And it was hard to see so many people, many of whom were genuine, trusting in man-centered religious behavior for their salvation. Whether it was by seeing these relics or praying the rosary or taking the Eucharist or touching the golden door, they were trusting in these things for the forgiveness of their sins. Natural man wants to minimize his own sin and be righteous in his own eyes, with his own achievements and on his own terms. They're effectively saying that God's ways are not right. Let's see what God has to say about that. Please follow along as I read Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 through 25. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has done and keeps all my statutes and does justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions which he has done will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has done, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares Lord Yahweh? Is it not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns from his righteousness, does injustice, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his unfaithfulness which he has committed and his sin which he has committed. For them, he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? The prophet Ezekiel is among the exiles in Babylon, and the context of our passage this morning is God, through the prophet, correcting Israel's false view of God's justice. And he does this by providing an illustration contrasting two men, the wicked and the righteous. The first man's life has been characterized by practicing wickedness, rebellion, and immoral living. The second man's life has been characterized by practicing righteousness, morally upright, devout behavior. Look at verse 21. It says, if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has done. This turning, this is the concept of repentance. He literally is going one direction and changes course to go in the opposite direction. He was pursuing all his sin, and then he turned in the opposite direction to pursue Yahweh. It says that he turned to keep all my statutes and do justice and righteousness. This is not just about doing stuff. The greatest commandment in the Bible is Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord Yahweh with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This wicked man has been converted. He was a God-hater running from God and now loves God, pursues God, and follows God. And out of a love for God, he does justice and righteousness. Look at verse 22. It says that the result of that conversion is all his transgressions which he has done will not be remembered against him. in the courtroom of God, his sins will be forgiven. Look at verse 24. It tells us that the second man, whose life had been characterized by righteousness and devout, upright behavior, turns as well. However, he turns from that good behavior to wickedness. This shows that he was not performing this good behavior out of a love for God. He was not truly a follower of Yahweh, or one that truly loved the Lord with everything that was in him. And as a result of that turning, it says, all his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered. This illustration is shocking to Israel and brings to surface their false thinking. Shouldn't the wicked man's life be enough to condemn him? Shouldn't the man's righteous good behavior count for something? Look at verse 25. God says, yet you, Israel, say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? Israel has the audacity to say that the way of the Lord is not right. It's not just. It's not fair. If God actually gave everyone what they deserved, no one would be saved. Both of the men in this illustration are clearly sinners. Both of them clearly deserve God's condemnation. But natural man wants to minimize his sin, be righteous in his own eyes, with his own achievements, and on his own terms. But thankfully, we have a merciful and gracious God. Look at verse 23. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares Lord Yahweh? Is it not that he should turn from his ways and live? God wants everyone to turn from their sin and turn to him, to love him with all of their heart. And by loving him, they can trust in him and in his ways. And his ways include a plan for sending a promised one, the Messiah. And this promised plan, most clearly articulated in Isaiah 53, is that God would send his exalted servant, and that that servant would be pierced through for their transgressions and crushed for their iniquities. And for the last 2,000 years, we know that Jesus is this exalted servant. And on the cross, he was pierced through for the transgressions and crushed for the iniquities of all of those who would repent and trust and believe in him. And that's what we get to celebrate here this morning. This is a time for us to remember corporately together the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross and to proclaim his death until he returns. And we do this by taking a little cracker and a little cup of juice that represents the Lord's body and his blood. And in doing so, we remember and proclaim his death. The Lord's Supper is only for followers of Jesus, for those that have repented of their sins and follow him. So if by your own admission you would say you're not a follower of Jesus, then when the tray comes by, we simply ask that you would let it pass. If you have any questions about what it means to repent and believe, please come talk to me, talk to any one of the other pastors, talk to the person who brought you. We would love to have that conversation. This is also a time for believers to examine themselves. We're warned not to take the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. If you have any known unrepentant sin, confess that right now. Confess that, turn from it, and partake. Believers, we know that we are sinners. And we know that we all rightly deserve the wrath of God for our sins. And we also know there's no amount of good behavior, human achievement, that can satisfy God's perfect justice. But God is merciful, and he's gracious. And Jesus on the cross perfectly satisfies God's justice, because he went in our place to bear the penalty that we deserve, something that we could never do. And we've been rescued. We've been rescued by what he alone could accomplish. and what he accomplished on the cross. And because of that, we get to live for him now, and when we die, we get to be with him forever. Consider these things, and when your hearts are prepared, please go ahead and take communion on your own.